When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Rolling along, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Unbelievable basketball right now. It's been a while since the basketball has given us this level of drama, I think. And so it's been great, and we're all over all of it. I want to clean up two things here that we're talking about and just sort of put a ribbon on the conversation. Do you want the one on naming your kids, or do you want the one on trivia, Nick?
Naming your kids.
Let's start with naming your kids. So as the rest of the country joins us here, I was just mentioning that I have befriended this guy, a guy named Matt Redner, and we've been playing golf together, and his son, he named his son Oakley. He wanted to name his son Latrell. His wife vetoed that. So he named his son Oakley, after Charles Oakley. And let the record show, and people who've been with me long enough will remember, and Mike and Mike, 2002, my son was born December 10th, 2002. I wanted to name him Chadwick Lavernius Santana Greenberg. For the record, his name is Steven. Because I got voted down on that one 1-1. I said, Stace, Chadwick? No. Santana? No. Lavernius? No. How about Steven? All right. That's where that went. And by the way, we had reversed the voices on that. I love the name. But the point of the story is, like, naming your kid after great athletes. I mean, how many Peytons do you think were born in Indianapolis over the course of Peyton Manning's career there? Well, didn't you name your dog Utley?
Chase.
Oh, Chase.
I named my dog Chase.
We named one of our cats Chase as well. We got them in 2008.
Why did you go Chase instead of Utley? I feel like Utley would be a cute name for an animal. I understand naming a human Chase instead of Utley. Like, Bubba had a dog named Hurley, right, for Bobby Hurley?
Sure did, yeah.
Yeah, last name. I would have gone Utley. I just don't have the authority to make those decisions, nor do you.
No, correct.
I was 11 at the time, so
when
it was
we
up
were
to
kids,
my
brother and I had hamsters. And we named one of them Bernard for Bernard King, and the other one Patrick for Patrick Ewing.
Were they both his, or did you share them?
They were mostly his.
He fed them. He took care of them. He walked them.
There's no, you don't walk hamster. You didn't seriously ask that question, did you? You walk hamsters?
I mean, I assume the only exercise they get is not just the wheel.
My first hamster. No, don't let me get sidetracked. We're right in the middle of the NBA
playoffs.
No.
I'm just
no, you don't walk hamsters. Whatever exercise they get on their own. There's no, you do not contribute to the exercise that hamsters get at all. You put a little wheel in it, and that's it. My hamster, the first one I had, who was named Pepe, named after no one, was so fat that if I wanted to see him go from one place in a habit trail to the other, I had to pick him up and put him there.
You should have walked Pepe once.
It couldn't fit through the little tube. Like, he was too fat for the little tube. But I digress. Anyway, so I have zero issue with naming people after that. Next, Trivia Nick. I figured out what Trivia Nick is. For those of you who missed it, at the end of last hour, Trivia Nick gets the trivia right every time. He's 14-2 because he prowls the hallway. He's just out there waiting to hear the question. And when he knows the answer, he comes in and does it. And when he doesn't know the answer, he doesn't come in. You know what you are? You have a vanity handicap. There are two kinds of handicaps in golf that are phony. The worst are sandbaggers. Sandbaggers will tell you, or somehow they have an index that's 6.3, but it should be 2.3, and they will take all your money. Vanity handicaps are the opposite. That's someone who won't enter their bad scores because they want to walk around saying, I'm a 6.3. In reality, they're a 9.3, and you will take all their money.
Huh.
So that's what you are, Nick. I can't really fault you as much because Hambo made me think of this. He said, you're a sandbagger. You're the opposite of a sandbagger. Mm. A sandbagger wants to artificially deflate his greatness so that he can take money from you. And there is no lower form of human being on this earth than a sandbagger. The vanity handicap is the opposite of that, and that's what Trivia Nick is. Do we all agree with that?
He load manages against the best teams.
Yeah. Not at all, but I don't really guess I have a
In
say
defense
here.
Of Trivia Nick, didn't he get them like all right last week when I was there?
I went undefeated last week.
You're except, an assassin.
For when he did, except for when he chose not to participate.
I'm not the one who said that you only choose to come in when you know the answer. You said you only choose. I have been told.
Yeah,
that
now
you
Cam's
said
saying
it.
In fairness today.
Well, I'm saying today it's unfair. Last week he won fair and square. He was feet to the fire, had to answer every time, and he did well. But it's not fair.
What is your actual job, by the way?
Not here.
Does Nick even work at ESPN?
Are you like on today, or did you just come in on your off day to get this right?
I worked today, but I wasn't earlier than I was supposed to be.
Are you getting OT for this?
Just to definitely check the question and see.
Here's my question. Do you sometimes hear the question and choose not to come in because you don't know the answer?
I can't remember specific time on hand, but there are times where I'll look at the show note and be like, oh, I definitely would not have gotten that answer.
But that's not the same thing. That would not. There'd be nothing wrong with that. There's nothing you can do about it. No one is answering these questions ex post facto. People who are listening on the podcast hours later aren't jumping in and saying, "Oh, I know that." I'm saying, have you ever been walking in those hallways in between shifts?
No, I don't think I have. I'm being honest. I really don't think there's been.
Well,
a time.
I feel like Cam and Bubba have misrepresented.
Well, he
you.
Said today.
He walked in and he said, "I would not have walked in if I didn't."
Because I was
answer.
In the middle of a meeting, so I heard the question, left the meeting.
You left a meeting?
Yep.
Hey, what kind of meeting is this that the show is just on? Like, how important is the meeting?
It wasn't an ESPN radio. It was something else. But I just turned my
what,
camera.
What meeting? Are
you having
in?
HR problems?
No, it wasn't an HR. It was like a different people of ESPN were all together from different departments. So I just turned my camera off and left.
Boy, that must have been some meeting. Excuse me, guys. I know the answer to the trivia on hashtag Greeny. I'll be right back.
You also haven't gone back to it in 30 minutes. So.
Camera's still off.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's
you
still
just
in the meeting.
The meeting.
They just called on you, by the way.
It wasn't like you jumped out, did the question, and went back. You've
what
been
a
in
place
the room
to work
for
this
25
is.
Minutes.
Am I the only one, by the way? I get very suspicious when I'm in a Zoom meeting with multiple people and people turn their camera off. Like, am I the only one who wants to ask, but it's just become like inappropriate to do so? Like, why did you just turn your camera off? What are you doing that you don't want the rest of us to see?
Oh, I'm a camera off guy always in the Zoom.
Really?
Always. Dude, you probably don't even know this. I'm going to say it anyway. When you hold the phone in front of your face in front of a Zoom, like, you look like you're 350 pounds. You do. Like, it's the most.
You mean me in particular or all people?
I don't
people?
Know about that.
Well, generally all people, but you especially do a really unflattering angle, like below your chin. You don't realize how unflattering that looks on a Zoom. You look awful.
You know what I realized the other day is that I was walking in the street. I had my AirPod in, and I'm in the post-show meeting. So I'm listening. We're having a conversation that I'm contributing to on a Zoom. And I'm actually hearing and talking through my earpiece. But every time I talk, I pulled the phone closer to my face and shouted into it, even though that had nothing whatsoever to do with what I was saying, so or with how people are hearing me. So my limited understanding of technology, I come by honestly. I'm 56 years old. So like that part of it, I completely acknowledge that there are things about that I don't get 100% right, but I refuse to be made fun of for that. I think it's a miracle I can ever get anything to work.
It's true.
The fact that I can ever get any, and you know what else I've discovered? It's a good thing there isn't a really, really exciting Knicks-Pacers series going on that we could be talking about right now.
Or an important meeting.
I have to say one more thing, and then I'm going to get back to the basketball box.
Good, because Nick's got to go to a meeting.
It's over by now.
Here's what I want to say. How is it possible that the answer to what percentage do we think? 80%. Of all technology problems is turn it off and then turn it back on again. That solves 80% of the problems. How is that possible? How is it possible that the only thing this thing needed was to be turned off and turned on again, and now it's fine? What am I missing? Nick, did I miss that meeting? Was I answering a trivia question? Like, am I wrong? Like,
oh, you're not wrong. You're
100%
right.
The first thing everyone says to me
and
is,
the other 20%
oh, have you
is
turned
your password?
It off? It would never occur to me to turn something. Oh, something's not working. Well, just turn it off. That's a stupid freaking answer. That's not helping me, but it actually is. It always solves
and the
problem.
And the other 20% is just remembering your password correctly. This entire industry is built on, you know, plugging it back in and remembering your password correctly. That's a job I need to get. That's a meeting I need to attend.
Most of the things on my phone, though, I don't have to put in my password because they're saved in there and my face does it.
Yeah, and that's why you hold the phone so close to your face.
Well, I mean, we're having two different conversations at the same time. All right, let's move on. Let's go back to Bubba. You want me to get into Jamal Murray here or you want to go back to Knicks Pacers?
Yeah,
you
haven't been on in a while.
Let's do Jamal Murray. So Jamal Murray, you know what happened. He got fined, not suspended, $100,000 for the stuff that he did Monday night in that game. He did not speak to the media after that game on Monday night. Tuesday was a travel day. There was no media availability. So yesterday was the first time reporters had the ability to ask him anything about it. And you will hear part of it right here when he behaves as though he is, it is absolutely inappropriate for them to be continuously asking this, and he has no obligation whatsoever to address what happened.
It is what it is, and I take everything full responsibility, so on to the next.
Was it just a frustration boiled over? Is that what happened?
Yeah, on to the next. I mean, there's not much, 2 days ago, not much for me to say about it right now.
Were there any conversations that you had with people or anything just to kind of apologize or whatever, maybe take responsibility?
Do you have any basketball questions? No.
So that was that. That's how he chose to handle it. And we all make decisions in life. And we all make huge mistakes in life. All of us, every single one of us, have made mistakes, have said and done things that we regret and we wish we could turn the clock back and not have done. And I fully believe that Jamal Murray would do that if he could. I hope that at some point he feels the same way about how he chose to handle that. Because what people do when you really find out about people is how they handle adversity. So the Nuggets have had almost no adversity over the last couple of years, and they have ridden the wave. And this is really the first time that they have faced any, and we now have seen how they handle it. Jamal Murray behaves like a petulant child, both during and then after the game. His behavior is childish in the moment. I mean, when you're mad at someone, throwing things at them is the definition of childish behavior. It's exactly what we try to teach our children not to do. And then the way he handled yesterday, I thought, was extraordinarily childish, because he's essentially having like a little bit of a hissy fit that he's being asked these questions. Do you have any questions about basketball? Well, no, wait a minute, Jamal. You just did this. You did this. Can you share your thoughts? What were you thinking? Do you regret it? Have you apologized to the official? Any of those questions. Well, it's 2 days ago now. Well, we didn't have the chance to ask you this. We would have asked you these questions right after the game, but you chose not to take any time for that to happen. We would have asked you yesterday, one day after it happened, but there was no opportunity to. So this is our chance. This is your chance to now frame this however you choose to. And he's an adult. He's well within his rights to frame it how he chose to. But I'm an adult, and I'm well within my rights to then react to it the way I choose to. And I thought that was as weak as anything I've heard of recently. Now, Pat Beverly, who had the incident last week, which I guess the police are now looking into, but they had the incident with the fan where he threw the basketball, and then they had the incident with our ESPN producer afterwards. He himself said after, my actions on the court were inexcusable. And he personally called the ESPN producer to apologize. That's what you do. When you make mistakes, which we all do, no one should be judged on the basis solely of their worst moment. But what we all should do is recognize it and acknowledge it, take true ownership, besides saying, well, I take responsibility. No, you don't. That was not in any way taking responsibility. There's a big difference between taking responsibility and saying the words taking responsibility. So what I really hope, I don't know Jamal Murray hardly at all, and I don't have any reason to think he's a bad guy, and this doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's a person who made, in my opinion, a big mistake and now has handled it very badly. I hope that at some point he recognizes that and says so. So I have more to say on this than the whole crew does. We took a lot of time with our technology issues, but I think it's pretty obvious to all of us that was worth it. So we'll come back. We'll let the hashtag crew chime in on all of that. You want to do the trivia now also, Bubba, or you want to save that?
I mean, might as well get it going since Nick is here. Okay. We can force him to be here.
Right, Nick, you're answering this question no matter what. Hembo, go.
Group trivia. There are five active NBA players that have scored at least 3,000 points in their careers in the playoffs. Five active players, 3,000 career points in the playoffs for group trivia. You're going to give me all five.
Oh, that's a great one. The answer is next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brainstorm. What is something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning? Noise-canceling headphones? Meeting-free Fridays? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to all other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/greeny, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/greeny now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/greeny.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Hembo's running this town right now, and we are going to take our shot at group trivia. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Then we'll get back into some of the funny and not so funny things going on around the NBA playoffs. But we start with a very good question.
I'm looking at a list. I am looking at a list of most career points in the playoffs by active NBA players. There are five players that have scored at least 3,000 points in their playoff careers among actives, and you're going to give me all five.
So you told us that the list would actually extend to 8 if you made it 2,900, is that right?
Yes. If I go down to player number 8 on this list, he has 2,883 points. So there are 8 great guesses.
There are 8 great guesses for 5 possible spots. So we've been kicking it around back and forth here. Pineapple Jack is in, Trivia Nick is in. And guys, I'm just going to say the first 3, because if any of these 3 is not right, then we have no chance anyway, right? There's no point in prolonging that. So if LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant aren't right, then we have no chance.
They're all correct.
Yeah.
In order, LeBron, then KD, then Steph. One, okay. Two, three.
So that's good. So now, the names that we've been... I think Klay Thompson has a very good chance...
I really like Klay.
...guys
like Klay.
To be right, right?
He's won a lot of championships.
He's just played so many playoff games, and he's had quite a few where he scored a lot of points.
Yeah.
So I feel like Klay is a good one. We've talked about Chris Paul, who I think is not going to be right. We talked about James Harden, which I feel like we all like a lot. We talked about Kawhi and Jimmy Butler.
What about Kyrie?
I think he had those good runs in Cleveland. Yeah. He was on so many teams that didn't make all those years in Cleveland when he first started. He was never in the playoffs.
Probably just not enough volume.
They got swept in Brooklyn.
He missed the Boston year. His first year in Boston,
right.
He missed the playoffs.
I think he's not. So I'm going to turn to Trivia Nick. If we decided to go Klay and Harden for our last two, would you feel good about that?
Yeah, those are the answers.
Listen to the certainty with which he said it. I almost hope I'm wrong now, because it would be so much fun if Trivia.
Who
Nick
are you
was wrong.
Next most confident in?
Those two. I'm Clay and Harden. I feel like I want to just go with the two of them.
I'd
and
he's going to tell us if we're right.
Definitely Clay.
Definitely
right,
we'll
Clay. Clay, first. Yeah, Clay.
We're going to say Clay Thompson.
That's right.
Okay. Woo!
He's fifth. 3,032 points.
Uh-oh. So someone's ahead of him. I think it's going to be Harden.
I like
Harden. Has been in the playoffs. He was on OKC when they went to the finals 12 years ago. He took all those Houston teams to the to the playoffs. Contrary to what everyone thinks, they did win some games. They went fairly deep a lot. He scores. Yeah. He always scores. The shooting percentage is what made it a big deal. But he still scored in bad games. He scores 18 points. Right? For 12 years, I think it's got to be Harden. Do you feel good about Harden?
I like Harden. I just wonder about the amount of games. And I know he's missed a lot, and I know he's not quite as much of a prolific scorer, but Kawhi has been and won three finals and has made a couple other deep runs. So I'm just a little worried that Harden, the fact that he hasn't been, you know, to finals year after year like some of these other guys, that he wouldn't have enough games. But the scoring is obviously there.
That's the thing with the scoring is Kawhi on those Spurs team wasn't the...
Right, like, he was a good defender.
Harden was carrying those Rocket teams.
But not they to
had
the finals.
They had a couple seven-game Western Conference finals.
Yeah, they had no seven-game NBA finals.
They won fewer games, but they played lots of them. And Kawhi, I mean, how many playoff games has he played since he left Toronto? Like five?
Not a ton.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like he never plays. So
I think we go Harden, and either we get it right, which is great, or the benefit is we get to make fun of Nick.
So, it's really a win-win scenario.
So it's a win-win
for all of us.
Yeah. We're going to go James Harden.
And the correct answer is James Harden.
Hey! Oh, boy. I knew it. All right, are the other three Kawhi,
Westbrook,
Jimmy, and CP3?
Number six is Chris Paul. Number seven is Kawhi. Wow. And number eight is Russell Westbrook.
Okay, yeah, so... So Brandon and Pineapple Jack were lobbying for Westbrook. So who wasn't in that?
Jimmy Butler's ninth, by the way.
It's ninth.
Yeah, he's ninth.
All right, so we were
all right.
We pretty much got the top ten.
To quote the great Jerry Jones, we were hanging around the rim on that one. Well done. I like that. By the way, let the record show that everyone on First Take now thinks Pineapple Jack is their researcher, which is hilarious. Pineapple Jack is like... He's the director of printing operations for GetUp, and he is the researcher based on the fact that no one else is here to do it. Like, when is there any other human being in that room?
No. So, I mean, Hembo's here as a researcher for GetUp, but other than Hembo, there's nobody else here that does research.
That's content.
I don't know if a lot
Hembo
of people...
Hembo is actually a content producer now. He was the researcher.
Yes, yes.
You're a content producer.
I don't know if a lot of people realize that the entire behind-the-scenes operation is in Bristol. So all the research notes get sent through email, and that's part of my job is that I print them and I hand them to the talent. But I guess that leads a lot of the talent to believe that I'm the researcher, which
is
not true.
They were looking for some stats over there. Chiney was, and she was like, oh, just get Jack.
They don't know that just because you're handing them the paper doesn't mean that you've inputted the information onto the paper.
Right, yes, exactly.
I'm happy to help.
They don't know that the information on the paper is as much a surprise to you as it is to them.
The researchers are sitting in Bristol like, why are we not getting any questions
getting
from
no
the talent?
Credit at all.
Yeah, it's great.
That's
so
tremendous.
Anyway, all right, that's what's going on here. Let me go back. You want to have some fun? You guys want to weigh in on Jamal Murray? I just gave, if you didn't hear it, just listen to the podcast, #Greeny. It's available everywhere you get your podcast. I gave strong thoughts because I have them on Jamal Murray. Any of the #crew guys, particularly with Murray and how he chose to handle the media availability yesterday, the first and only time he will address this. He couldn't have done it worse, in my opinion. Bubba and Cam, you guys want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I have a couple things just quick. You mentioned that the Nuggets as a team haven't faced a ton of adversity, like being down 2-0 in a series, which is absolutely true. Jamal Murray has. Jamal Murray came back from an ACL injury, so he knows what it's like to battle back from adversity and how you have to handle struggles in your career. He gets all that, but that's what makes it all the more shocking. And I know that's not his intent when he's throwing things onto the court, but you can draw a line between that and Karl Anthony Towns re-injuring his meniscus and having to, you know, rehab from an injury, all this stuff that Jamal Murray has had to do in his career. So you would think that he would have any kind of foresight to know that that could have happened. He knows what that's like. For him to have the foresight afterwards to not say anything about it and not want to comment on it at all is pretty disappointing, because he has had to go through something like that in his career, and he clearly could have caused that to someone else.
Yeah. The actions he took, I don't know which is worse. The fact that he threw it out, that he recklessly threw it in such a way that it could have easily injured a player, or the fact that he was throwing it at the official in the first place. Who the hell throws stuff at the ref during a game? And this just is stuff that isn't done. Bubba, you have a thought?
Nothing really. It's just disappointing. Like, it's the whole thing from the start to finish. The fact that he even did it to begin with, we thought was crazy. It's crazy that he wasn't suspended. His reaction was disappointing. Really, from start to finish, the whole thing has just been disappointing. So nothing really to add. I was just surprised by the whole thing.
Hambo.
Very bizarre. Very bizarre. Because he had a couple days to recite a few lines that his PR team gave him, and he refused to do it. Like, I mean, the fact that he did three different ridiculous things in that game is one thing. The fact that he skipped out on his media availability after the game is super weak and probably didn't get enough shine because what he did on the court was so ludicrous. And the fact that 2 days later he couldn't just say, my bad, apologize to the league, thank you for not suspending me for game three, excited to play with my teammates. Like, come on. It's not hard at all. You don't even have to mean it. Just say the thing that's in the teleprompter, dude. Like, I don't really understand how we got to a place where that's the best you could do 2 days after the fact.
That was the craziest thing he said, was when he said, yeah, it was 2 days ago, you know. Like, it wasn't like it was last month. It was 2 days ago. He said 2 days ago like it was an eternity. Like, I can't comment on that. It was forever ago. It just happened.
It should be pointed out, it's not like he has spent 2 days answering questions about it. He has never answered question about it, and obviously has chosen that he's never going to. So it is disappointing is a good word. Weak is another word. And I hope that for his own benefit, that he comes to recognize that. And look, people are not meant to be judged by their worst moments. This was a big mistake that he made. It doesn't make him a terrible person. Doesn't mean any of that. It means he lost his cool in a way that was definitely not cool. It does not seem to me he recognizes that yet. And hopefully, eventually, he will. I can't really think of any better way to put it than that. Feeling great starts with a great shave, and great shaves start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream. So they've been a sponsor of ours now for a little while. Our appreciation. I can't say Barbasol Shaving Cream twice without mixing up the S and the Sh.
I see.
I keep saying Barbasol Shaving Cream. Feeling great. See? And I apologize for it, Jamal. It's not that hard. Feeling great starts with a great shave. Great shaves start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic. For over 100 years, close shave America, close shave Barbasol. Meanwhile, this was funny.
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
But Charles and Shaq and Kenny and Ernie, I mean, they're an American treasure. You don't need me to, a national treasure. You don't need me to tell you how funny and great they are. And they were at their absolute best last night. So the Knicks are going to win the series. The Knicks go up 2-0, and people are acting like Charles wants them to lose. And Charles, you're going to hear him say, no, I don't want the Knicks to lose. You're going to hear him explain why. And then I just want you to focus on Shaq egging him on. This is one of the great egging jobs I've ever heard of. Because being a host on a talk show, like egging on is a huge part of the job description. Like, I need to egg you on. That's what Ernie does for a living. Like, get Shaq going. Get Charles going. That's what I do for a living. That's what hosts do. You want to hear. You turn on these shows not because you're dying to hear what Ernie is going to say, even though every once in a while he'll throw in a three from downtown. You don't tune in to get up because you want to hear what I have to say, although I'd like to think every now and again, if I'm wide open, I'll take a shot. For the most part, my job is to get that out of people. And Shaq does this so brilliantly with Charles last night, and it all ultimately adds up to this.
You know, if the Knicks win, that'll be good.
You care who wins. Cut it out.
I don't care who wins, yeah, but I will tell you what, I would love to see them get their ass stomped by the Celtics. That'd be great.
Then you care who wins.
I mean, I'm just saying, whoever wins this series is going to get stomped by the Celtics.
Well, you said you'd be happy to see it.
Yeah, because the New Yorkers, y'all deserve it. Because y'all think y'all the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Tell them, Chuck.
Come on, y'all ain't that good in New York.
What else, Chuck?
Come on, man. Y'all overrated.
What else, Chuck?
It's because y'all make good pizza and good bagels.
And what else, Chuck?
And what else, crime?
And hold on, Chuck. Don't forget about the
Oh, you know, they can't, I ain't going to say anything bad about the street meat. I love the street meat. I love the street meat.
The New York Knicks.
I don't care what kind of meat it is either. It tastes good.
To a, even if you, you got no idea it is. What
rat,
it is.
Dog, cat, skunk, raccoon. It tastes good. Just put that white sauce on it.
He's just unreal. Like, no other human being alive could do that. Like, what's so hilarious about that is that anyone else does that and they become public enemy number one in this city. Like, it is the inverse of what happened with Spike and Reggie and all that stuff back in the day, a generation ago. Like, you know, you call out New Yorkers, you're overrated, all that stuff. He will walk the streets of New York where they don't have the Eastern Conference Finals. So the next time he's walking down the street in New York, fans will be like, yo, Charles, we love you. He's just hilarious. It doesn't bother you at all. I am a New Yorker. I grew up here. I love the pizza and the bagels. And I find everything he said hilarious. He has just found a way to occupy a place that almost no one else has. And it's an overused phrase, but it's just Charles being Charles. And he could just get away with stuff no one else could get away with. And I think largely it's because he's just so damn funny.
How? Like, I agree with you. I think he probably has about as high an approval rating as anyone that does this for a living. And he's almost like universally loved, revered, respected. I actually saw last week, I think it was Dan Le Batard on his show said that he thinks that Charles Barkley is the best and most influential broadcaster since Howard Cosell. Obviously, you've known Charles Barkley for a really, really long time. There are things that he says that if anyone else did would get excoriated for it. But he has this delivery, this persona, this temperament that seemingly everyone loves. And so not only can he get away with it, but it's super funny. And his criticism is then received so favorably because it's coming from him. He just found a great way to thread that needle.
You just made me think of something else, which isn't actually the same thing, but it's sort of a distant cousin of the same thing. And that is watching the way the Garden reacted to Reggie Miller last night. And God bless Reggie. I did not know these details until yesterday morning. Reggie is doing the West Series. And he flew. He decided, I'm going to New York to be there for one of these games. I have to do it. And flew himself there. You know what I mean. He went to New York. He made a point of being there to do this, even though his assignment is a different series. And it made me think about the athletes in history who have thrived on being the enemy, on wearing the black hat, right, of being the villain in the arena. I'm not sure how many of them ever did that better than Reggie. The one thing, LeBron James, he did not do that well. LeBron James, and this is not a negative thing. It is probably much more common than the other. LeBron James has a desire to be liked. He wants you to like him. That's not unique to him. Most people are like that. It takes a different kind of temperament. Like, Charles genuinely has I don't give a damn if you don't like it. Like, if people, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are outraged by that. Most people not, but some who are. And you know what his response would be? I don't give a damn. And he'd mean it. Everyone or many people might say, I don't give a damn, but they wouldn't actually mean it. Charles will say, I don't give a damn, because he actually doesn't give a damn. And that's a real unique temperament. Reggie, meanwhile, was that guy who just thrived on the hate. Again, using the word hate in the sports context, in which it is 100% delightful. It's one of the best things about sports. And that's what, by the way, that's what Jamal Murray better be ready for. I mean, they are going to wear out a lung booing that guy tomorrow night in Minnesota. I can't even fathom how loud that's going to be. And we'll see how he handles it. Yesterday does not suggest to me he's going to handle it well, but we'll wait and see. But the point I'm making here is, I loved everything about the way that was handled with Reggie last night. I love the fact that Reggie, it was important to him to go back there and be a part of it. I loved that the fans were ready for it, chanting at him the way they did. I loved the stuff with Spike. I love the fact that Reggie loves it. Like, this is what makes sports great. Great. Reggie Miller retired 20 years ago. Those fans don't actually hate him anymore. If they ran into Reggie Miller walking in the concourse, they'd be like, hey, man, can I take a picture? That's all good. But until the end of time, they should chant that at Reggie Miller in that building, and he will love it. And I love that part of sports.
Sports are made so much better, so much greater, so much more enriching when you actually have real antagonists, not fake antagonists, not antagonists for the sake of being antagonists. But what Reggie Miller did to the fans in the city, of course, 15, 20 years ago, some of those Red Sox teams, those hated Red Sox teams with Manny and Poppy and Pedro, some of the quarterbacks that have played in the NFC East, of course. Like, that's as a sports fan, that's what you like the most. Like, the watching the games, experiencing the games is obviously such a huge part of it. But the subplots, that's really what the NBA really, really gets right. That's what made, you know, partly the Sixers-Knicks series so compelling, is that Joel Embiid went from being, we want you to play on our team, to persona non grata. Like, that. Yeah. That's what takes sports to a different place. When you can, you know, sort of like peel back that layer of the onion, and the NBA and the Knicks this year, and of course, dating back many generations, have gotten that right.
And the larger point is, Reggie is a personality who loves it, can handle it, thrives on it, flourishes in it, whatever term you want to use. Not all players do.
Right.
It can't be easy to do. That's not a criticism. I don't think I could do it. I definitely don't think I could do it. Like, being the center of negative attention is not fun and easy, right? But some people, it brings out the best in them. Kobe Bryant loved it.
Loved it.
Kobe Bryant loved it. Michael, interestingly, almost never experienced it. Michael and I was on the road with him for years. He got cheered most places, regardless of the fact that he was on the opposing team. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, a list of things from Progressive Insurance. Home, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, ATV. Progressive protects them all. Learn more about bundling at progressive.com. We have not one but two unbelievable pronunciations from our favorite pronunciator. Next on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. So there's nothing we love more than when Chris Russo says words. So Chris Mad Dog Russo is one of our absolute favorite people. I always feel a need to preface these segments by mentioning that everything we say about him is said with love, respect, admiration, and friendship, because I do admire and respect the hell out of him, and I do consider him a friend. And yet it is just inarguable that he talks funny and says things in a funny way from time to time. And I have been told by Bubba that we have two great ones. So I've not heard these. We're going to hear them together for the first time. Hembo, you've not heard them either?
I've not heard them.
So here's the way Perfect. The game seems to be setting up. I've got a short clip on my screen. And Bubba, you're telling me we're going to play that. And Hembo and I are going to have to try and guess what he's saying.
Correct.
And then the okay. explanation of it will be available thereafter.
Correct.
Okay. This is a good little game. So here we go. Here is Chris Mad Dog Russo on his radio show on Sirius XM. Soundbite number one.
How does Tom Brady, the magnificent, good-looking quarterback, how did he lose his beautiful wife to a jazoo how you pronounce it?
I know what it is. Yeah, I think it's hilarious that he can't say it. Is it a Pilates instructor or a jiu-jitsu instructor?
Jiu-jitsu is what he was trying
to say. He's trying to say jiu-jitsu.
But okay. I only know that because I I know the story, right. Not because I could tell what he was saying.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh, no, you wouldn't. Let's just listen to the. Okay, here.
How did he lose his beautiful wife to a jazoo construction, to a, in, how you pronounce it? What's the word? I even know. What is it?
What? Jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu instructor. I mean, that's the whole theme of the night.
That's the whole Jazook.
My favorite part is even the radio producer didn't even know what he was talking about.
Oh, my
Jazook
God.
Constructor.
Oh, that's even better than I thought it was going
to
be.
How did he lose his beautiful wife to a jazook constructor? how you pronounce it? What's the word? I even know. What is it?
What? Jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu instructor. I mean, that's the whole theme of the night.
So he's never heard the word jujitsu spoken aloud before? Like, that's a pretty common, right? It's a martial art, right? Like
it's a martial art.
Yes,
it's
I guess he's probably never seen it spelled out, I guess. And then that's, you know.
So like,
I don't know.
It's not as well known, I think, as judo. Like, do you remember judo, karate? What are the best known? Like, when I was a kid, kids
Taekwondo.
Who did martial arts.
I did martial
Taekwondo
arts.
Taekwondo has
kid.
Become a big. Which one did you do?
Tangsudo. How many belts did you have? What color belt?
I was a second degree black belt, but I did it for 8 years.
You were a second degree black belt?
Yeah.
Do those skills stay with you?
Not really.
That
Some
means
of them.
If you had to, you could beat the hell out of Hembo.
Absolutely not. It was a lot more about like discipline, respect, all that stuff. So I do think some good values
so
were instilled in me. We did some self-defense, but not a ton. But
okay.
Don't grab my wrist. I'll be able to punch you in the
God,
face.
God, that's funny.
How did he lose his beautiful wife to a jazoo construction? How you pronounce it? What's the word? I don't even know. What is it?
What? Jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu instructor. I mean, that's the whole theme of the night.
Jazook.
And I think that the instructor is also throwing him off. Like, instructor is a tough word to go into after jiu-jitsu.
After jazook.
Like, if you don't know exactly how to say it, you're just looking at a piece of paper. Although, I can't imagine he's reading that off anything, right?
No, he's not reading anything.
He's just trying to conjure it up.
Because when I watch him on High Heat, he does, like, these long monologues to start his baseball show, and he's never looking at anything.
Right.
Like, he's just
he's not looking at a teleprompter?
Like, I guess I don't know, but I suspect he's
not. Do
you
think he's just going off the top of his head?
Yeah.
Look, Chris Russo is a broadcasting legend. No one is questioning that.
He's a goat.
This is one of the reasons why. Because I got one more. This is only 1 second long. So let's see what it is he's trying to say.
Nate Gargatz, is that how you pronounce it?
Okay, I think I know who it is. So he's saying a name.
Nate Gargatz, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, so he's saying Gargatz. I assume he's talking about Nate Bargatze or Bargatze, however you pronounce
it's
the
Bargatze,
comedian's name that I went to see. I saw him at Radio City.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. Now, did he appear? He wasn't in the roast, was he?
No.
No.
He's not a roasting kind of guy. He is a super family friendly.
Yeah, he's clean.
Yeah, he doesn't
very
swear.
Very clean
yeah.
comedian. He's very, very good.
He's great.
He became a big deal because he hosted SNL, now that I think of it.
Yeah, he's really blown up. He's selling out everywhere.
So you're talking about Nate Gargatz, right?
Yeah, listen to this.
As far as the Brady roast is concerned, we started the program with it. We'll go back to it in a little bit. We're going to play that comedian a little later on about the golf. Eddie, do you have that ready for me? Nate Gargatz, is that how you pronounce it? Does a great job.
He does a great
does
job.
A great job.
He does a great job.
He does a great job.
He's right about that. He does do a great
Nate Gargatz does a great job.
Russo.
What's that?
Russo on First Take yesterday, if you haven't seen it, ripping the Brady roast was hilarious.
No, I didn't. What did he say?
He hated it.
He did not
he
like it.
He did not like it.
I don't know if we have any of that sound, but he was passionate. Like, I've heard so much positive response from it. He was the exact
opposite.
Did he
not like it because he didn't think it was funny, or did he not like it because
he didn't think it was funny.
Of Giselle and the kids, which I will confess, I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it once more. There's only one thing in life I'm not the least bit interested in hearing from you about, and that is how Stacey and I choose to parent our kids. That's our concern. That's our business. And I'm not telling anyone else how to do it. Not seriously. We'll joke around about stuff, but I would never do that seriously. So if Tom Brady is comfortable putting himself in that position, which you know is coming, if you've ever seen a roast, you don't have to have been roasted, which I was once, by the way. You don't have to, you know that's coming. And in this case, it was so high profile. You know, the whole world is going to see it. So if he's comfortable putting his family in that situation, far be it for me to tell him he shouldn't. That's his business. It's not mine. But I have seen criticism of that, and I do understand it. I can get where that criticism is coming from. Now, if Chris is criticizing the content of the roast itself, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, I thought it was – I've seen a lot of roasts. The roast of Justin Bieber – I think was the funniest, like
so
top
good.
To bottom. But I think that one was right there. I mean, literally
so
right there.
So for yours, if you don't mind me asking, for the roast of Mike and Mike, you knew in advance like what was on and off limits?
Nothing was off limits, but no one was going to hear it but us. Like we were Mike and Mike. He's Tom Brady. This was Mike and Mike in 2008. Like, have you ever heard anything? Have you ever heard any joke that was made at that roast?
I've not.
Exactly. Have you heard any of the jokes that were made at the Tom Brady roast?
All of them.
About his ex-wife and children?
Of course.
Oh, so has everyone, and that's the point.
So this is what Russo said. He said it was not funny. So he basically said, Kevin Hart, you're not that funny. Jeff Ross coming in with the OJ thing on 32, you're not that funny either. The Nikki Glaser is not that funny. Randy Moss stunk. Edelman's not funny. Bledsoe's not that bad. He was the only one. How does Brady subject himself to that nonsense? And I'm not a prude, okay? I can deal with the language. But
I'm not a prude.
But I mean, okay, enough Rodney Dangerfield.
I know all about comedy.
That was the worst piece of garbage I've seen in a long time.
The worst piece of garbage. I thought it was hilarious.
So did everyone. Literally everyone else thought it was hilarious. Do you remember there was an episode. There was an event that took place. Do you remember Artie Lang, who's a comedian, went on Joe Buck's talk show?
Oh yeah,
and said a bunch, cursed a lot, and said a bunch. I don't remember what he said anymore, but he worked blue, which he does. If you know who Artie Lang is, if you ever heard him when he was on the Howard Stern show, you know that's his shtick, and it caused a big stir because that was at a time before these kinds of things were common, and I remember Chris Russo going. And Artie Lang, he thinks he's funny. He's no Carol O'Connor, I'll tell you that. Carol O'Connor was Archie Bunker on All in the Family. And he's not, I tell you what, he's not Carol O'Connor, okay? You're not that funny.
He said, Russo said, and you got Bob Kraft, who should be sitting home eating cookies and watching I Love Lucy reruns before he hits the sack. He's sitting there watching this. He's 85 years old. Bob, act your age for crying out loud.
Here's the one thing I will say. That's not Bob Kraft's vibe, okay? We will leave it simply at that. But that dude is living life, okay? In every way one can be doing so at 85.
Not watching I Love Lucy reruns?
He's not watching. You know what the tragedy is? I'm watching I Love Lucy reruns.
Great show.
And he's 30 years older than me. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.